Welcome to the Sports Zone on WHRU LP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio, and we are back after our little December hiatus. I hope everybody out there had a great Christmas, a great new year, and are ready to start off 2023 with a great start. I'm your host, Anthony Collada, and as we kick off this new year in 2023, it's been a long time, so we're going to start with a top five moments in the last month, and these aren't necessarily in order personally to me, but my first moment is the World Cup final specifically between France and Argentina. Now, I'm going to preface all of this with saying I know very little about soccer. I knew very little about soccer watching this game, but if a game of soccer can get someone like me on the edge of their seat and in tune to the game, that I have never watched a full soccer game start to finish, and I was glued to my TV during this World Cup final. It started early in the morning. I slept through about the first half when Argentina took the 2-0 lead. And, you know, after that, 2-0 in soccer, it's you know, almost game over at that point when you don't even see points scored in some soccer games. But France didn't go away after the halftime break. Their main player, Mbappe, two straight goals, and I think they scored two goals in like under a minute and a half. It's like crazy. That's something that, you know, it's huge in hockey. Two goals, like the Blackhawks say, two goals in 17 seconds. Just something back-to-back, super crazy. Well, Mbappe did it for France in regular time, tied it up, and then, you know, back and forth, lots of good shots. You can actually tell, like, hey, this is how soccer's supposed to be played. You fire that ball down there, and you're watching these players run, and they get it, and they actually put a shot close to the net, and the goalies diving, making great saves, them just missing on an entry pass, the corners. It was actually a really fun, exciting game, and then you had Messi, who's arguably one of, if not the best soccer player in the league right now, or in the world right now. And then you make it to overtime. He puts Argentina up 1-0 with the goal in overtime. And then you start looking. I didn't even know the rules. So I'm like, oh, Argentina won. They just, you know, kicked it in game, you know, in overtime, whatever. Well, the time continues through. And who was it that came back and tied it? Oh, yeah, Mbappe again. The hat trick for his third goal in overtime to tie it up in the biggest game of the world. And then you had it all. Then, you know, the time, it continued on throughout overtime. No more goals were scored. And then you got penalty kicks. So you had a 2-0 comeback. You had a player score a hat trick. You had one of the best players in the world of soccer score two goals. And then a game winner penalty kick. Then it went to penalty, like it was in penalty kicks too. It's like this soccer game had everything, and honestly, it almost ruined soccer for me. It's like how can someone who has never watched soccer before now just go turn on, like, you know, game one of the regular season next year for whoever? It's, you know, but that's kind of besides the point. It's the fact that this World Cup final game, a sport that especially in our country that we don't pay as much attention to, well, This is a game that got a lot of attention and a lot of people involved with soccer. So top five, that's one of them over this last month. And number two, we kick over to the world of basketball, and Luka Doncic is absolutely going insane right now. Since December 1st, he's averaging 35 points, 8.5 rebounds, and almost 9.5 assists. That's 15 games. And he's only scored less than 30 points in three of those 15. So 5% of the games he had failed to score 30 points, including three triple-doubles and two 50-point games and even a 60-point game. And that 60-point game was like that final nail in the coffin to me on he's absolutely going insane. That 60-point game came when Dallas was trailing by 9 points with 35 seconds left. So now, Luka had been going off all game up into this point, but they were down 9 points, 35 seconds left. No team has ever come back from those types of numbers, that type of deficit before. And Luka, with time running out, gets fouled, goes to the line, he makes the free throw, and then to intentionally miss the free throw. He throws it off the rim and just perfect place, perfect time. He hops out to his left, gets the rebound, shoots it back up, and now he's back on the line. They tie it up. Now they go to overtime, and then he hits a game winner in overtime. And he finished the game with 60 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. That's just unheard of. Well, minus James Harden back in that like 16 to 18 run where he was putting up constant triple doubles, 50, 60 points. But it's so rare to see players have this type of impact on games. Now, all the haters out there, they're going to say, oh, the Dallas, they're playing all the bottom three defensive teams and blah, blah, blah. He's not getting his teammates involved. They're empty stats. And no, you don't score 60 points and put up 20 rebounds and 10 assists and not, you know, that not means something. And he's been doing it all month, and he's going to continue to do it as he has continued to do it throughout his whole entire career. And the craziest thing about it is he came into the NBA at like 18, 19 years old. He's only 23 and he's already putting up Hall of Fame numbers. Honestly, I think they've done a decent job of putting talent around Luka. They need more though. They can't help this guy out a little bit. But for now, let's just enjoy this en fuego run by Luka Doncic. Number three is going to be the New England failed lateral. Not the greatest of names. I couldn't come up with one. But so what happened was, score was tied 24-24. New England had no timeouts. There was like 20 seconds left. They just decided to run a quick draw to their running back, Ramondre Stevenson. You know, maybe it breaks. If it doesn't, whatever. You go down, you live to fight another day, you go to overtime. Well, I think he might have just had a little bit of a brain fart in there, because as Stevenson was getting tackled, he decided to flip the ball back to Jacoby Myers, their receiver, as a lateral. Now, keep in mind, game's tied. Go down, go to overtime. Well, now Jacoby Myers, I think it was kind of like a, oh, the ball's in my hand, what do I do kind of moment. So now Myers, instead of just falling down, he decides to try to keep the play alive. Well, he decides to throw the ball 30 yards backwards to the only player back there was Mac Jones, the quarterback, the slowest player on the field with nobody behind him to throw the ball to. And it worked out about as bad as you could have expected. Myers threw that ball 30 yards up and 30 yards deep, and Chandler Jones, the defensive end for the Raiders, was just sitting there waiting. He probably looked up and was like, oh, wow, the ball's coming to me all of a sudden. He catches the ball, and Mac Jones, as in the words of Jason Kelce on their podcast, he goes, Mac Jones tried to come in and take a charge on Chandler Jones, and that's about all he was good for, as Chandler Jones gave him a stiff arm to the fifth ring, and Chandler Jones ran it back with no time on the clock, and that's how New England won. Now, yeah, bad ending to a game. It was brain fart, you know, players, they owned up to it and whatever, but there's a little bit of a bigger impact there, is that was a huge loss, you know, huge game for the Patriots, because you fast forward 2 weeks and now they're in a position with the regular season ending that they're in a must win situation. They have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive, and then they need a little bit of help. Had they won that game against the Raiders, or at least given them a chance, go to overtime, see what happens, you know, maybe you're in a different position where you're going into this final week of the season, you can get healthy. You don't have to go balls out. Well, now they've got to win, and then they're going to need some help. So it's a bigger loss than just, you know, how bad it ended. And then number four for this month of December, we're kicking it to the college football playoffs this last Saturday with TCU upsetting number two Michigan to head off to the national championship. They beat them 51-45, and TCU was really in control from the beginning of the game. 21-6 lead at halftime, and, you know, Michigan, they kept hanging around. They kept finding a way to put the ball in the end zone, you know, score a field goal here and there to keep putting up points, hang around a little bit. They did end up coming back more in that second half, especially late in the third into the fourth quarter. But it wasn't enough for TCU. A couple big killers, J.J. McCarthy threw two pick sixes. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to win a game when your quarterback throws two interceptions for touchdowns. But, you know, Michigan, they kept hanging in there. Couple unfortunate calls, none bigger than the deep ball in the second quarter to Roman Wilson, where he caught the ball and, you know, camera angles were tough to see it and whatever, but he caught the ball and his butt came down at the inch yard line before the end zone. And as he hit the ground, he rolls back into the end zone. Well, there's one angle that you only see it from the back. You only see his back, and you can tell that he's clearly sat down on the ground short of the goal line, and then he rolls in. Not a problem, but not many people have actually seen any other angles, but he was actually bobbling the ball when he hit down at the inch yard line. So by the time he actually possessed the ball, he was already in the end zone. It was a touchdown. Well, refs reversed it, by the way. It was a touchdown, and there was not enough clear, concise evidence to overturn. But they did it anyways. They overturned it, and then Michigan fumbled on, like, the next play or two. And, you know, there goes that. So, you know, some unfortunate calls here. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you're Michigan, you can't blame the refs all that much when, you know, you threw two pick sixes. You have a history of choking in the playoffs. I mean, it's unfortunate. It was a tough way to end for Michigan. But a great win for TCU as they head off to the Natty to play against Georgia. And then the number five moment in the hockey universe is Alex Ovechkin moving into number two all-time in total goals scored. This happened on Christmas Eve. He is now up to 806. That places him just 88 goals behind the great Wayne Gretzky, who has played 174 more games than Ovechkin. So, in order to become the fastest player to have the most goals, Alex Ovechkin will need 88 goals in 174 games. I think it's going to be close. I do expect Ovechkin to play at least that long. He's still playing at a super high level. He's been around a long time, but I think it's definitely in his sights, and I think he's going to hang around to at least give it a run, and I'm excited to see it. It's always great to see history, always great to see those leaderboards being moved around. And then, so those were our top five, you know, the biggest kind of moments, big things that really stood out about the last month in sports. And then we briefly talked about TCU and Michigan. We're going to take another look at the college football playoffs, specifically that number one, number four game between Georgia and Ohio State. And Georgia, you know, they're undefeated throughout the regular season. They came in and Ohio State gave them everything that they wanted and more. I mean, Ohio State was up 38-24 going into the fourth quarter. They looked dominant. C.J. Stroud looked fantastic. But Kirby Smart made sure that Stetson Bennett was ready to go there in that fourth quarter. He wasn't happy with his performance, especially in the first half. Even after the game, he wasn't all that happy with the performance. But, you know, he got his veteran quarterback to really batten down and, you know, focus up in that fourth quarter, and he delivered. He had a 76-yard touchdown pass and then a 10-yarder within the last, like, 8 minutes of the game. That final 10-yard touchdown came with 54 seconds left to put Georgia up. And then, you know, Ohio State, though, they kept fighting. They didn't give up. They brought it down the field with, you know, 50 seconds left. And as the clock hit midnight and we headed into 2023, the Ohio State kicker shanked his game-winning field goal way left, and Georgia advanced on to the national championship. But, I mean, I actually saw a video of four different cameras. It was a couple ESPN broadcasts, a New Year's Eve ball drop, and it literally, as midnight hit, was when that kick missed. It was something that I don't know if you could even plan. But a great moment. Unfortunately for OSU, they fought hard. They snuck in that four seed, and they really showed everybody that they belonged. But at the end of the day, Georgia, they just did enough to pull out the win. Couple notable performances from that weekend. Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud, 23 of 34, 348 yards, four touchdowns, and he showed a lot of improved ability with his legs. You know, everybody knew he could throw it, and they knew he was athletic, but he was actually getting out of, you know, some tough situations, advancing games with his legs. He added 34 yards on the ground. So big performance there out of arguably the top quarterback coming out this year. And then the other one, Bryce Young, the quarterback for Alabama. He went 15 of 21, so he didn't really have to throw. Alabama led pretty much the entire game. 321 yards and five touchdowns from Bryce Young, who is, at this point, after that performance, is widely considered to be the number one overall pick in this NFL draft. Couple other players that are up there in that conversation, as well as C.J. Stroud, is the defensive tackle for Georgia, is Jalen Carter. He's a physical specimen of nature. It's just, at times, it looks like he just disappears. He doesn't want to play. This national championship, I mean, here they had 2-3 weeks off. He looked gassed after the first quarter. He didn't make an impact. He had one tackle. And then the defensive end for Alabama, who's also considered to be one of those top five picks, Will Anderson, just didn't play in the Pro Bowl. I mean, a lot of players are doing that. They're getting ready to go to the draft. They don't need to risk injury. I get it. But here, he didn't play, and it's the biggest game of these guys' life. So, you know, that's another conversation. And as we use that to transition to the Chicago Bears, I mean, here, they got romped by the Lions 41-10 on Sunday. They lost 9 straight. They've got one more week. There's really no even focus on putting it on the Lions. Who cares? It's just another loss. What you need to look at with the Bears is, where are they going to end up in that draft? They could get the first overall pick. They could be anywhere from 1 to 4. If they lose next week and Houston beats Indianapolis, which I think is a big possibility, Indianapolis is not playing well at all, and they have to start their rookie quarterback who hasn't played well, the Bears will have the number one overall pick. The Bears play Minnesota. Minnesota's going to have to play their starters. We're going to get into that playoff picture real quick in a minute. But I think the Bears, this is another game they lose. They're going to need some help from Houston, but they could get that first overall pick. And even if they don't, they get number two. I mean, here, there's the Colts, there's so many teams out there that need quarterbacks. Houston, that if the Bears can get one or two, they've got their quarterback picked. Fields is the guy. They need to put help around him. You could trade out of 1 and 2, one of those two spots, even into still stay in the top 5, get into the top 10, and you are not only going to get that first round pick, you're going to get a pick next year, if not another one the year after. And you're going to get multiple picks here, and you're actually going to have a solid groundwork to continue to build this. Whereas, you know, you get one player. You get a defensive tackle who disappeared in the biggest game of his life, or a defensive end that didn't play in a Pro Bowl. It's one player. You know, you could trade back. I know draft picks, they're not guaranteed and whatever, but, you know, the more you have, the better chance, the more likelihood you have of them hitting. I think the Bears, especially if they have a top two pick, they need to trade back. Get a couple more first-round picks under your belt and go from there and build in the roster. We'll see what happens next week, though, with that. And as we look at the overall NFL playoff picture in the AFC, obviously there's some seedings. Some seeding positions still to play out here, but as of right now, Kansas City owns the first round bye in the one seed at 13-3. Buffalo still playing on Monday night. They've got their game against the Bengals, who sit in the third spot. So Buffalo at 12-3, Cincinnati at 11-4. You know, Buffalo, if they win, now they've still got that chance at the one seed with Kansas City. If they lose, now 2-3, Buffalo, Cincinnati, they're right there. And so some things to watch there with that game on Monday night. Jacksonville is clinched the AFC South on Sunday with a record of 8-8. Not anything too impressive, but when you've got the Colts, the Texans in your division, it helps. And then you've got the wild cards. This is kind of where the positioning is still a little bit up in the air. You've got the Chargers at 5 at 10-6, and then the number 6 seed Baltimore at 10-6. So game next week for both of those teams are going to matter. And then the 7 seed is where things are kind of up in the air. New England, if they win, they're in. And then you've got a couple other teams below them. That Pittsburgh, if Buffalo wins and the Jets win, as well as Pittsburgh winning, they would then shoot up into New England, or into that 7 spot, because New England would have lost to the Jets. So Pittsburgh could find their way into the 7 seed. Miami, even Tennessee has a long shot to make it. So a couple different teams there still open for that final wild card spot. And then in the NFC, Philly currently holds the 1 seed and the first round bye. the top seeds in the NFC are really up for grabs. You got San Francisco at 12-4. You got Minnesota at 12-4. You've got Dallas at 12-4. So obviously the Philly Dallas, that they're going to be the one or the five because they're in the same division. One's going to have the wild card. So you're looking at Philly Dallas there in the final week. San Francisco, Minnesota could still shoot up to one. They could fall down to three. They're all right there. You've got the four seed locked down by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they clinch the NFC South this Sunday with an 8-8 record. And then you've got the Giants clinched into the second wild card spot with a record of 9-6-1. And then the final wild card spot is still up for grabs. You've got Seattle at 8-8. You've got Green Bay at 8-8. And you've got Detroit at 8-8. So the way that it looks, you've got Seattle. If they win and Detroit beats Green Bay, Seattle's in. Green Bay and Detroit, they play each other. So if Green Bay wins, they're in. If Detroit wins, they're going to need Seattle to lose in order to be in. So lots going on there. Detroit needs to beat Green Bay, needs help from Seattle. Green Bay, they control their own destiny. All they need to do is win. And Seattle, they need to win. So Lots of going on here into the final week of the season. There's injuries. There's different things to, you know, really pay attention to. But a lot of these teams still have a lot to play for. So don't expect too many starters being rested in these Sunday games. You do have two games on Saturday this week. And then you have no Monday night game this week. So you'll know the whole playoff picture and everything by the end of Sunday night, but it'll be an interesting week for sure, because there's still a lot of playoff positions up for grabs, and I don't feel like you typically see this. I mean, obviously, you know, there might be one division up for grabs between the two conferences and maybe a couple wild card spots, but I mean, it almost seems like 1 through 7 in both conferences can be flip, mismatched, and whatever all the way around the board. So there's not a whole lot really set in stone right now, and it's going to make for some really interesting playoff matches. I mean, I think Tampa Bay will give some teams some trouble in the playoffs. I mean, it's Tom Brady. You can't really count him out, but they're not playing well. I don't expect the Giants to really do much, but again, anything can happen. Minnesota doesn't look like a real powerhouse team, but here, they're 12-4. They did just get romped by the Packers, though. It's lots up for grabs there. It'll be interesting to see how the football playoffs play out, and especially with the Bears being done, I'm looking forward to it. And as we wrap up our show, rather than kind of our fun fact, I got a couple facts built in here, but a shout-out to Pele, as he passed away over this last week. When your name, your nickname is the King in Brazil, you probably had a pretty big impact. And again, like I said, I'm not really one that knows all that much about soccer, but I do know that Pele, one of the biggest, most influential soccer players to ever come through the history of the sport. And it was the impact that he had. Now, on the field, 3-time world champion, you know, nothing too big there. It is said that he has 1,289 goals in 1,363 matches. That's insane. That's like 70 games where he didn't score. And they're saying that it could be more between expeditions and other get-togethers and whatever that he was playing, that it's very possible that he's played way more games and he's scored way more goals. But the fact that that is the overall consensus, that he has scored 1,289 goals, that's insane. He's considered to be the one that kind of turned soccer into art. It turned it into an entertainment. It wasn't just people running around kicking a ball. He was, you know, think of players like Jackie Robinson, Bill Russell, who not only brought excitement on the field, but they brought a higher standing to, you know, the lesser fortunate, the poorer people, the people of color, and just the overall country of Brazil. You know, think Bill Russell, Jackie Robinson in baseball, basketball, just these influential, polarizing figures in sport that they multiplied. For Pele, it's multiplied because soccer, it's a world sport. It's not just the MLB. It's not just the NBA. It's on a world scale. And he was, you know, he was him at the top So a rest in peace to Pele, one of the best soccer players to ever live. And with that, we wrap up our first show of 2023. And we've got some new things, I think, coming in the works for you guys as we get into 2023. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to get into some more fun things as some of these other sports, they start to kind of die down a little bit and we kind of get into more just the regular season. So until next week, stay tuned to the Sports Zone.